This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4, and Moneyline takes you till 7. All you blitzers, save your hate, because your two favorite people are not going to be here today. Jerry and Josh are already here. Well, we are their
favorite. Blitzers
I
love
being
us.
Sarcastically, because we all know
Yeah.
My two dudes, Josh and Jerry, I told you, if you don't catch Moneyline on Sundays, catch them tonight. They got a wealth of information and fun for you lined up 4 to 7 right here from the clubhouse. If you're in the area driving around, as Barry mentioned, 610 in Almeda, right by the Dome, and just head away from the Dome, Wildcat Golf Club. We got plenty of room for everybody to hang out, listen to the show, have some fun and beverages. This auction, Diamonds in the Rough, doing a fantastic job with tons of stuff out there in the lobby that you can bid on, all going to a fantastic charity. So come on out and see us. We'd love to see you.
Look at the stats they had on the screen there. First time the Astros have been swept in 2019, four-game losing streak, and now they're 3-5 in interleague play. Good thing they jumped to the AL.
Yeah, good thing that
awful
Cincinnati Reds team. Okay.
I'm
a dumbass.
Not a good weekend, or week, I should say.
Barry, Here's the thing. It ain't getting any easier because now they leave Cincinnati, and they play the Yankees starting tomorrow night in a four-gamer. Yankees are getting healthy, and they're at home.
Yankees are up 12-1 on Tampa Bay right now. And that's
a team that they're playing in division for first place.
Best pitching staff in baseball, and they're up 12-1. Two Sixers. A first inning, six-run first inning, and a six-run seventh inning.
This could get bad.
Ugh.
This could get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Although Astros do play the Yankees fairly tough, so.
Yeah,
we looked at the rotations.
And hopefully that'll happen.
We looked at the rotations. Not great because obviously Cole and Verlander go in the Red Series.
Right.
We get one of those again, but could be worse. Could be worse.
Hopefully it gets a hell of a lot better.
Agreed.
So we had that to mention. Astros are done. Trade today also in the NBA. Mike Conley is going from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Utah Jazz for the most hated college player of all time.
Christian Laettner.
No, close.
Oh. The other white guy from Duke that everyone hates.
Yep.
All of them.
Okay. Well, J.J. Redick was not part of the deal.
Oh.
But what's the little tantrum guy? Now,
the most Utah Jazz looking guy in Utah Jazz history.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It just escaped me and I had it.
He looks like Ted Cruz. Why can't I think of his name?
Grayson Allen.
There you go.
Along with one of the other all-time white guys, Kyle Korver. Jake
man.
Crowder.
Memphis is
good bench player,
lighting up.
And the 23rd pick in the first round. So Memphis gets another first-round pick. They get some role players in Crowder, Korver, and a young player in Allen. Conley and his $31 million-plus. Heading to Utah, but that means Ricky Rubio's days in Salt Lake are probably over as he looks for a new home in free agency. Dennis Lindsay, ex-Rocket exec, knows what he's doing. Good move to help take some of the pressure off of Spider Mitchell. That's a good backcourt, Conley and Spider Mitchell next year for Utah.
Not bad at all.
Rudy Gobert in the middle. So I expect to see more activity between now and the start of the draft. The Lakers are supposedly trying to enhance the deal that they've already agreed to with the Pelicans so that they can try and free up some more cap space to get another max player. On top of that, they are rumored to be trying to buy some second-round picks. And you say, well, why would they do that? Well, second-round picks don't count on the cap, and second-round picks are very cheap.
Yeah.
And they can stockpile those for the back end of their bench so that they don't have a ton of extra salaries to try and take on.
And if you were wondering, you can take the Grizzlies off your list of possible trade partners for the Rockets and Chris Paul
right.
with this move.
With Conley, right.
Because here was an example of a trade. This is according to CBS Sports. They could have went down three-team deal for Chris Paul, who would have ended up in Orlando.
Ooh, boy.
And Mike Conley would be a Rocket.
Okay.
And then Memphis would get Aaron Gordon, DJ Augustine.
Eric Gordon?
Nope, it says Aaron,
Aaron Gordon.
Gordon
from Orlando.
DJ Augustine, the number 16 pick in the 2019 draft from Orlando, and a future first-round draft pick from Houston.
Okay, was that actually so that's discussed?
Off the table.
Or was that
no, these are just potential trade scenarios.
Okay. All right.
This is also the same article that says that Chris Paul could go to Minnesota for Wiggins, Saric, and Bates Diop.
I'll tell you right
I have
now.
No idea that, who the hell Bates Diop is.
That's a deal right there. If that could get done with Gerson, their ex executive with the Rockets, if that deal could get done, there's where you make a trade that does make you better, in my opinion.
So Wiggins, Saric, and Bates Diop for Chris Paul. You pair Chris Paul up with Carl Anthony Towns. I think that's a pretty good duo to get started out there.
In Minnesota?
Yeah, and then they probably deal Jeff Teague at that point with his expiring contract, which would probably be easier because the contract
Saric is
expiring.
Saric is a really, really good underrated player.
Yeah.
And Wiggins, you know, he's getting –
Wiggins hasn't lived up to the potential of the number one pick.
Still young, though.
But he's still young enough to be able to rebound. Some other trades in this one. Phoenix gets Chris Paul. Houston gets T.J. Warren, Josh Jackson, Tyler Johnson, and the number six overall pick.
I've heard that one before.
Look, getting the number six pick, that would be pretty attractive.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
But, again, this is one of those drafts where it's top-loaded with the top three picks, and then 4 through 10, they're almost interchangeable. They could go anywhere. There are a couple at the top that are going to be – more highly touted than others, but overall, I just don't see the kind of players in the top 10 in the lottery that there normally is. But we'll see what happens because Atlanta's trying to cash in. They've got, I think, 8 and 10, but they'd like to move up into the top 4 or 5. Yesterday, supposedly, Atlanta tried to cash in with New York and get up to 3, and they vetoed the deal for 8 and 10. If you're the Knicks, I know you want R.J. Barrett or he wants to be there, but it, at this point, with as bad as you are, you might want to cash in on 2 top 10 picks and really try.
Yeah.
Because with the way it looks now, with Durant's injury, with the fact that Kyrie, who looked like he may consider the Knicks, is now leaning more towards Brooklyn. If the Knicks strike out on the big, big names and they don't stockpile some draft picks to at least start getting some young talent in there as well,
man,
that's a horrible look for a team in the biggest media market in the world.
Yeah, and it's been bad for a while. And this is when people thought, okay, they've cleared cap, they've got room, you make a couple of moves, you add some stars, you add some young talent. If they do none of that, it's going to get real ugly in New York real fast. Agreed.
It really is. If it isn't ugly already, because, you know, obviously they haven't done a whole lot to better that team in the last couple of years.
Last trade scenario in this article.
Yeah.
It says Lakers, don't even think about it. And then it says the one that has been mentioned before, Boston gets Chris Paul, Houston gets Gordon Hayward. I still think that makes the most sense.
Yeah,
but
you like that one.
Somebody on the Twitterverse said, what do you guys think about Boogie Cousins for the Rockets?
Again.
How are you going to make that happen?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Because Boogie, and we talked about this in the past, Boogie tried to reverse what Tracy McGrady and others did when they chased the ring at the end. Because of the injury, he said, I'll take less and take 5 for 1 year, but I'll do it with the best team in basketball to try and get that ring on my resume.
Yeah.
He didn't get the ring, but now it's even more important than ever that he starts to get and recoup some of that money. He's going to be looking for big-time dollars. I don't think any team, because of the injury history, is going to give him a max deal. But I think that he's going to be up in that $18-plus million a year range, and that comes down to just like any other deal, including the Rockets discussing this Jimmy Butler deal. You've got to come up with that money. It's all fine and dandy to say that James has talked to Jimmy, and Jimmy would love the opportunity to play in Houston and all those things. But until you can clear the money, it's all just talk.
Yep. At this point.
Yeah.
John Parker said, happy birthday, Joel.
Thank you, John.
I will send your gift tomorrow since y'all are on a remote today.
Oh, John, you're the best.
That's what I'm talking about, John.
We need strawberry cheesecake.
We're gonna hit up the suspects. We're gonna make this happen tomorrow since we couldn't make it happen today.
That'll be fun. Nick will get a lot of alcohol.
No, you will.
Well, but Nick will.
What is your alcohol preference?
Crown.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Always been a Crown guy.
Okay. Look at that. I dig that. So we'll get you some Crown sent up to the studio tomorrow for sure.
There you go.
LFA tagged us on a tweet.
Huh.
It says Twitter moments. I don't understand what he's saying, but ratings. Is this from today, El Jefe? Yeah, it looks like it. Cy Young, reigning Cy Young winner Blake Snell exited his start at Yankee Stadium after giving up 6 runs and recording only 1 out. It was the shortest outing of his career.
At least he didn't kick another countertop in his bathroom. You know, you can fix what's going on with a bad start, but if you're missing action because you broke your toe kicking a marble countertop in your newly to be remodeled bathroom, I would have more issue.
Yeah,
he's going to be fine. Two starts ago, he was fantastic, so he'll be fine.
He had a 370 ERA going into today. Now he's got a 440
Look at Verlander. Verlander's still barely under four, but giving up three bombs last night didn't help him too much either.
Nope. Snell having a down year, though, 4-5
Still, he's still no Charlie nice Morton.
Nope. Still a nice whip, still a nice strikeout. Still putting up some good strikeout numbers, but not the same Cy Young year he was having last year.
Nope. Milwaukee, by the way, one other NBA note, Chris Middleton declined his $13 million deal. That means he is expecting max money in free agency, and the Bucks have got some work to do because Lopez is a free agent, Brogdon is a restricted free agent, and if Middleton is also a free agent, they're going to have to try and replace those guys if they would see Middleton leave, and they're not. Because of the other contracts they have, they can't go out and get a max guy.
Is Lopez going to get the veterans minimum?
He's earned, because of his three-point shooting, I think he's earned a bigger deal than he would have gotten. He bet on himself. He did the one-year deal with Milwaukee at a very cheap price. I think he was making around, I think, five. It was really affordable, but I think he's going to get paid this year.
Yeah.
Although they say the Lakers might be looking
at him. Boy, he would look good
in
a Rockets uniform.
Again, because him and Al Horford, because they shoot the three as a big man, perfect for a D'Antoni system. You're absolutely right. But again, you got to have the money for all this.
Yeah, well, that's it all hinges on getting rid of Chris Paul or Capella and Gordon or something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Like I said, obviously the pipe dream is if you're able to get Jimmy Butler here. But in order to do that, you need the money and you need to free it up. Or the three-team trade happens and you still need the money. So that means for all intents and purposes, Capella and or Eric Gordon are gone. And a bunch of other stuff to try and get Jimmy what he – and by the way, if Jimmy opts out, he's opting out of 21 or 23 mil a year. So you would think that you're going to need to either do a short-term deal with him and hope he's willing to take it, or you need to get in that 30 range.
Somebody brought this up, which is a name I saw mentioned before for the Rockets. Just your thoughts on this real quick before we get to break.
Okay.
Josh and Beaumont said if the Pelicans would give up – Julius Randle, the one and the four for Harden, would you take it?
God.
For Harden. The one and the four pick in this year's draft and Julius Randle. First of all, I don't think that the Pelicans would do that.
Yeah, they're in rebuild mode, and I just – even if you're Houston, I don't think there's any way you consider that. James is still in his prime. You don't know what Zion's going to be, and whatever he's going to be is going to take a couple years when he develops a jump shot and all these other things. Four, to me, like I said, is not a guaranteed all-star type player.
Okay.
Once you get out of the top three this year in the draft, you're going to get a good player. I don't know how great they're going to be. And Julius Randle had one good year. But
let me ask you this. And we got to go to break, so answer it on the other side.
Okay.
But if you had to choose, if you can't get rid of Chris Paul, do you choose between making a deal like that for the one and the four pick and Julius Randle get ready to get him Harden, or taking your chances with those two playing together? So we'll answer it on the other
side. Fair enough. All right, we got that and a whole lot more coming up as we continue to roll on from Wildcat Golf Club. It is the Occasional Invitational, ESPN's golf tournament. If you want to stop out and see us, you can see us till 4. You can see Moneyline until 7. They are here diligently working. They look like they're way too intense for a radio show. I'm going to need to have them lighten up a little bit, Francis, before we get to 4 o'clock. Back with a whole lot more. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Alameda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We are on the road today. We are at Wildcat Golf Club. They have been so gracious to us, even gave me a birthday dessert cake. That was so nice. We appreciate that, Tim, and everybody out here has been fantastic.
Well, not everybody.
All right, who are you calling out?
We have a thief in our midst. I'm not going to air all the dirty laundry.
Oh, you're doing it like that, dirty.
But let's just say, if you can hear the sound of my voice, and you maybe took something that wasn't yours, bring it back. No harm, no foul.
If you were playing Wheel of Fortune without a vowel, if your favorite consonants are B and Q, and there's two Bs.
Oh, I was like, what?
Yeah. You may know more than you should, and you should bring back what you took.
So confused right now. I don't know what. All right. Somebody said, happy birthday, Joel. Can Joel tell Barry a joke that he might be able to use in his show?
Every day,
I do. Great show, guys. Dell makes it extra special. Yeah, they want,
definitely not. Dell was on in a very good place with me, and then his comment when we walked out of the bathroom just made us just go right back.
Yeah,
it's okay.
So you're gonna tell me a joke?
I do every day, and I always tell you can use it if you like it. I'll think of one.
Speaking of that, somebody else texted and said, "Where's a good place in Houston to try stand up open mic for someone who's never done it before?"
The shower.
Yeah, I don't do all the open mics anymore, but the two that I always recommend, it's going to be hard to get on one of them for sure, and that is the open mic at Rudyard's.
I've heard of it.
But go to the Houston Improv on Tuesdays. They have an open mic. It's a bucket draw. You just throw your name in the bucket, and if your name gets drawn, I think you do like 3 minutes, and that would be where I would recommend starting. It really doesn't matter if there's a mic and a stage and a crowd. Just do it. Just get started. That's what's most important. Just go do it. Okay.
There you go.
Cover. Text box is empty.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Okay.
So, hey, before we went to break, I asked you, if you had to choose, let's say that they can't move Chris Paul's contract. So now they have an offer on the table for what the texter suggested, Julius Randle, the 1 and the 4 from the Pelicans, and for James Harden, do you opt to keep Harden and Chris Paul together for the next couple of years? Which one are you doing?
I'm keeping Harden and Paul together because that means you're at least competitive for the Western Conference Finals for the next 3 years, assuming that you look at Golden State's not going to be what they have been in the past, and you don't know when and if they're going to get healthy and what Kevin Durant's going to do. We don't know if the Clippers are going to get anybody or they're going to – and how quickly they're going to gel. The Lakers are still trying to fill out the rest of their roster. I would say that I'd rather be in a competitive situation where I have a team for the next 3 years that has two players their caliber with still the roster around them, as opposed to if you make that deal with New Orleans, I think you're starting over because you've got two draft picks. Zion's got to come into his own and learn a lot about the NBA. You don't know what that 4 pick is going to be. And again, Julius Randle was a lottery pick, yes, but he's only had one really stellar year, and that was last year. So you don't know which Julius Randle you're going to get. That's the way I would go. Where are you going?
I got to be honest with you. The thing I've been saying for the last couple of weeks now to a month is that what are the two common denominators?
Oh, you're right.
And the Rockets debacle and not being able to get over the hump. There's two people, James Harden and Daryl Morey. If you have a chance to reboot and get something of value long term for James Harden while he still has value, because the question you have to ask yourself is, can you win a championship with James Harden? Do you feel like you can do that?
That's the
if you're honest with yourself and you think no, then why don't you move him? Why don't you go and get a Zion Williamson
who
you think might be a guy that can win a championship?
I'll tell you why you don't move him.
Because I think that 4 is more valuable than you're giving it credit to. And that's just us disagreeing.
Sure.
But I think if you add a 1 and a 4, remember, you're still going to have Chris Paul. You're still going to have Eric Gordon. You probably have to move Capella if you're going to bring in Julius Randle.
Well, and because you'd like to move as much salary because you're essentially starting over. And the reason why you do it is exactly
But what Randle plays he plays the 5, right? Or does he play the 4?
He plays the 4.
4 and
he's
5?
He's a traditional 4 that can probably, in a small lineup,
gotcha,
play the 5. But I think then you just try and trade everybody because you're starting over. You are what New Orleans is trying to do, which is stockpile a whole bunch of young players and picks, get a few veterans to stabilize it and give you some wins until you can really have a team in a few years with a nucleus that you can build around that has come into their own, assuming Zion gets a shot and whoever you get it for is a good player. But the biggest reason why you don't do it is because now from your fan base perspective, your marketing campaigns –
You're basically saying
it's not even about the Warriors anymore. It's about this didn't work and we got to try again.
But I tell you, man, if you have to be honest, as an organization, you have to assess where you're at. How close or how far are you from a championship? Do you think that James Harden, in another year, of James Harden and Chris Paul? Because remember, the whole trading Chris Paul is off the table. It's either you're rolling with James and Chris or you're going to take this deal. Do you think that you're closer to winning a championship keeping James and Chris as opposed to keeping Chris, adding Zion Williamson and the number four pick, whoever that ends up being, plus Julius Randle and moving Capella, and then maybe going out and getting a mid-level exception guy to come in and shoot the three or whatever and complement the rest of these guys? I mean,
you got here's the thing. You at least have Eric Gordon for one more year.
Yeah.
You know that
you could probably resign Austin Rivers.
If he didn't outprice himself based on how well he played for them. As Stephen A. Smith and others have said, look, he's going to get paid because he proved he's still got plenty left in the tank. And getting away from his dad might have been the best thing.
But he'll get more from the Rockets than he will in free agency.
I don't think so, because right now what they're dealing with is, like I said, with a few tweaks and the mid-level exception, they have about nine to play with to split up. But that's going to be how you construct essentially your entire bench.
Yeah.
Because House is free. Fareed is free.
Yeah.
Rivers is free. You know, Nene is going
to
retire.
I think it's a tough conversation to have, but I think it's one that the Rockets have to do. And obviously Daryl Morey thinks that they're close. But I just don't know, as great as James Harden is, I am not 100% convinced that they'll ever win an NBA title with James Harden.
Here's where I'm going to agree with
you. I'm just not 100%
convinced. That's exactly where I was going to go. If you're a Rockets fan and you like the fact that you're in the discussion to compete every year, and, yeah, you targeted the Warriors and you can say you were a hamstring away and you had all these opportunities, are you at some point okay with the fact that you're going to have to accept that you've gotten as far as you could go with James Harden? Because I'm with you. I don't think, and Granato's had this conversation with Lance, too, in the morning, I don't think that this franchise is going to win a championship with James Harden as their superstar player unless he's able to sacrifice some of the individual accolades and stats and all those things to win more games in the postseason. Because what we've seen and heard, and like I said, there's the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but a lot of guys are frustrated. A lot of guys are tired of the fact that they all fully accept the fact that when they had to win games and Paul and Capella were out, you had to play a certain way. ISO ball, yep. Harden. But once the assumption on their part, which they were wrong on, was once they were all healthy again, that they would go back to playing the system that won 65 games. And that's where James was like, I'm not doing that because we had too much success while you were out.
It's a tough conversation to have. And, yes, you have to take into account the fan base because you're right. Are you okay with being competitive? The flip side of that is if you're just okay with being competitive, then you're just okay with never, once Harden's gone, to having to really start over because you're never going to have a good draft pick. You're always going to you're never going to be in the lottery. You're never going to be in the lottery. You're always going to be in the top four or five because James is just that good to keep you in the middle of the pack at worst. He's proven that he can do it by himself.
But here's the thing,
he did this year.
You also got to go through and look back. How many of those picks, if you suck and you make that move, how many of those picks do you actually still have the rights to? Because a lot of those picks were moved in Daryl deals trying to get this team established and constructed.
Well, no, what I'm saying is moving forward.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying some of those picks moving forward, future draft picks were included in deals.
Yeah,
they might not be there.
I'm sure they were lottery protected, though, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he would do that.
At that point, you're not expecting to be in the lottery.
Well,
because you're expecting to be drafting at the back end of every draft because of the fact you're supposed to be that good.
Yeah.
So you didn't need the picks. That's why you were willing to give up for Butler.
Is a way for you to get two picks in one draft, two high draft picks. But, yeah, it's an interesting debate, you know, and it's one that I think the Rockets and Rockets fans have to be realistic with themselves about. Do you think you can win? Like, because you can ask that about the other two teams. Do you think you can win a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson as your quarterback and J.J. Watt as your superstar on defense, an aging J.J. Watt? Those are conversations
and
you
D-Hop,
have to have.
Yeah.
And D-Hop. Do you think you can win a World Series with the team currently constructed on the Astros? And I think, honestly, the only team in this town that you can honestly say has a legitimate shot at a world title is the Astros. I don't think the other two are constructed or have enough
Although,
star
power. I would say the Rockets are close. They're still close. But again,
they're close because
it's going to take one hell of an offseason for them to still be competitive.
They're only close, and I'll give you that. They're only close because, not if any of their doing, because the Warriors are starting to crumble a little bit with injuries and whatnot. That's the only reason they're close.
I hear the music, we're going to go to break. But I'm telling you, I hear you, and here's what I was said. I told you all along, their last shot to win it all was this last season. because of the cap constrictions and Paul's contract and all those things. And the other thing that they got to be aware of is, I said within a year, maybe 2 years, Dallas is going to be a better team than the Houston Rockets.
That's looking like it could be.
And that roster right there is starting to look more and more like it's possible.
Boy.
So that would be painful as well.
Yeah, it would.
And you don't want to accept that if you're a Rockets fan. All right, accept this. We're in the final hour of the show. We're going to continue to roll on. We're at Wildcat Golf Club. When we're done, it's Moneyline filling in for the Blitz. It's Josh and Jerry Bow. You don't want to miss that as well. If you really don't want to miss it, stop on by. Right off Alameda. As you get off the 610 loop, whatever, by the dome, and you know how it's spelled, regardless of how it sounds. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hey, we're rolling through the final hour of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. We are here at Wildcat Golf Club, as we've mentioned to you all day, everybody broadcasting all the way until 7 o'clock. You can come out even if you didn't participate in the tournament. Participate in the auction that's going on right now, Diamonds in the Rough. Got a lot of great autograph items out there that you can bid on. But everybody's going to be out here hanging out. Granato, Lance, Dell will be signing autographs, taking selfies. Depending on the auction and how high it goes, he will also take pick-me pictures with you, depending on – right, Dell? Okay, good. So lots going on here at Wildcat. Nick's back at the studio, unfortunately. I miss Nick today.
Do you?
I do. I miss Nick being in the middle of our conversations and being a voice. I'm sorry
you
don't. I do.
All right.
I wanted to bring this to you because I think you're going to really love this.
All right.
All right. So we know it's high school graduation time. A lot of the schools are already done. There was a high school graduation speech by a valedictorian that did not hold back, and it was pretty awesome. So pretty cool stuff. The high school is San Ysidro in San Diego, California. All right. Natalie Burr was the valedictorian. She gave her speech, and she decided to not hold back and scorch the earth about her teachers and the school staff as she bowed out as a high school student. She started out by thanking her friends and the classmates and everything that had been going on. She wanted to give recognition to her parents, who she said were phenomenal throughout her childhood and going into adulthood. And everything that happened when she was applying for colleges. And then she decided to lower the boom. She starts with her high school guidance counselor, which she said, "To my counselor, thank you for teaching me to fend for myself. You were always unavailable to me and my parents, despite making an appointment. Only in the past few weeks, when award ceremonies and graduation started coming up, did you begin to make your appearance and make yourself available. You expressed to me your joy in having one of your students be valedictorian when you had absolutely no role in my achievements."
Shots fired.
And Barry, she wasn't done.
Oh, boy.
"To the school administrators, your negligence to inform me of several scholarships until the day before they were due potentially caused me to miss out on thousands of dollars for college."
Man, I like her.
She ain't done, Barry. She then accused one of her teachers of being an alcoholic. She said,
"Yes,
thank you for using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism."
What? This is great.
"Without naming the instructor, she said, being escorted by police out of the school was a lasting impression. I hope future students and staff can learn from these examples."
All right. Now, if you were guessing, what did the teacher teach? What was your guess?
Shop.
I was about to say it's got to be a shop teacher or a coach, right?
I would think, but
no way some math teacher is just showing up as drunk, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Without naming the instructor, it doesn't say.
Okay.
The school was obviously trying to soft sell it and paint a different picture. We think the student speech was inappropriate, out of line. While we definitely welcome the concerns of students and their families regarding any situation at one of our schools, doing so in such a manner without any prior knowledge to the situation by the school is not the right way to handle this.
Can I translate what that meant?
We're really
pissed that she said that she told the truth up there and made us look bad because we didn't fix it ourselves.
Yep.
I don't feel sorry for them. Good for her. Although, she'll learn real quick that in the real world, you can't do stuff like that.
No, but if this was your last true shot of being able to do it, that's aiming high and letting it fly. That's fantastic.
Now, yeah, if you're going job to job, you don't do that stuff because you get that reputation. But if she's retiring, yeah, on the way out, you can torch your company if you want to. But, yeah, you don't. She'll learn. You don't do that normally. But she was on the way out, so good for her. I don't have a problem with it.
It was fantastic, man. I just like, you know what? To have the cojones to go in there and do something like that, because you don't know what's going to happen. They could possibly try and drag you off in the middle of your speech.
Absolutely. Start playing music and turn your mic off.
Right, like the Academy Awards when you go too long. I mean, there's lots of different ways it can go down. But for her to have the guts to do something like that and let it fly, I was impressed by that, man.
Good for her.
Yeah, that was very, very good stuff.
I like it. Hey, yo, dumb question.
Okay.
If I'm wondering, I bet others are too. Can y'all explain what the mid-level exception is? Thanks. Happy birthday, Joel.
Thank you. Sure. Once a year, NBA teams can use the mid-level to sign a player or players for a specific amount of money. Before 2011, the mid-level exception was equal to the average NBA salary for all teams over the salary cap. Teams with cap room were ineligible for the mid-level exception.
So basically what
if you're over the cap, you're not in purgatory. You still have what the average salary of an NBA player is, an average player.
Up to what,
that you
4 years
add.
Max?
I think so. Something like
but
three,
four. But, yeah, it allows you to give a little bit of money to a player, even though you know, because there's the cap, and then I think the term is something like the apron, the salary, the tax apron or something like that. But essentially what this allows you to do is, if you're over the cap, spend a little extra money that would already put you over the cap. And that number, the max that you can give that player, is set each year.
Right.
So it changes.
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially, like I said, the mid-level, I believe, this year is around $5.4 million.
Okay.
And then I said, with a few moves that the Rockets could make to free up just a little bit more, they could get it to around $9 million to play with. But, you know, what does that get you? You know?
Not much.
And I would bet that Daryl's going to try and split it between two guys. Does that get you Austin Rivers? I don't think so. I think Austin Rivers, as a starting point, I think Austin Rivers is in that nine range.
Really?
I do.
You think Austin Rivers is going to get the high end of what Pat Bev is going to get?
I was just
going to
say, remember what we talked about yesterday. Pat Bev, they said, is going to get between $10 and $15 million a year. If that's the case, and we saw Austin Rivers can play defense, and he could probably shoot it better than Pat Bev,
yeah.
Austin Rivers has got to start at nine, I think. We'll see what the actual numbers come down to be, but I really believe he's in that ballpark.
Okay.
So it's going to be real interesting to see how this thing plays out, because it's one thing to say you want a max player or you want certain players on your squad, but it's an entirely different thing to find the cash it's going to take, not just for that Jimmy Butler-type slot, but it's going to be really hard for them to try and find guys that are going to come at a bargain price. As I mentioned to you, they're not competing with just themselves this year as teams that – free agents and buyout players say, that's a team that I could win a chip with and I've got a chance to play on. Lakers, Clippers.
Yeah.
Teams are going to have spots for you.
Did you see this story about this attack squirrel?
No.
So some dude, I want to say it was Alabama, but some dude had an attack squirrel that he was training. And the way that he would get this squirrel all juiced up to attack people was give it meth. So this
what?
Dude, yeah, this dude had a meth attack squirrel that in his house for protection. Here's the thing.
That's crazy.
Here's the flaw in this scenario. At some point, you have to open the cage and let the attack squirrel out.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, having had a pet squirrel in the past, yes, that's a fact.
Oh, boy.
The squirrel's probably not going to be able to differentiate on who to attack, you or another person, because...
Specifically you or your nuts?
Because...
Because you know squirrels like nuts.
It's on meth.
Yeah.
Like, we had a pet squirrel back in the day named Chipper.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
In a cage?
No, it was wild. And it
oh,
would come
my
to
dad
our
did
house.
The same thing. He'd feed it out of his hand.
My mom and dad trained this squirrel yep. Chipper. It would they would put now. Don't you say anything. But they would put a nut in their pocket. Shut up, Joel. They would put a nut in their shirt pocket.
Oh,
yeah, that's some yoga. That you got to do yoga to be able to do that.
Put the nuts by the nipples, not the nuts down low.
You would put a nut in your shirt pocket, and the squirrel would run up your leg.
Oh, hell no!
Yeah, it would run up your leg, sit on your shoulder, get the nut out of the pocket, eat it, and then run off. and it was trained. And all you had to do to make that happen was you just stand on the back porch and you could either take like two pecans and the shells and clack them together.
I bet you did take two
pecans. Or you just go like you're calling a horse.
So my dad did that.
And Chipper the squirrel would run over, sit on your shoulder, and eat a nut.
Do you realize on the way up the pant leg, you're doing a drive-by on other nuts before you get to those nuts? There's just too much that could go wrong with that scenario. My dad would do the whole...
Yeah, and then the squirrel would come running.
But he would just have the peanuts in his palm.
See, you added peanuts to it.
And the squirrel would take the peanut
nuts,
and eat
Joel.
It. But I ain't letting a squirrel go up my pant leg and into my chest pocket to grab a nut.
No, he doesn't go inside the pant leg. He runs on the outside. But he climbs up your leg, and he would climb up your torso and sit on your shoulder and eat the nut out of your pocket.
Okay.
That was pretty cool.
Well, that's just nuts, Barry.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what?
It's not nuts?
You know what? If you need a bunch of money to buy nuts to feed a crazy squirrel in your neighborhood, download GetUpside. Put it on your phone right now. You can get lots of cash back. In fact, that's the only thing GetUpside does is get you cash back for your purchases, whether it's gas, whether it's – are you using GetUpside, Mike? See? Get Me Mike uses GetUpside. He knows it works, man. We have so many listeners sending me screenshots that it works. Nick uses it. I use it. The wife is on it. AJ's been on it for a while now. It actually works. You just have to use it. That's the problem. If you don't use it, people are like, I don't think I'm getting anything back. That's because you're not claiming the rewards through the GetUpside app. These businesses want your business. That's why they offer you cash back. But you can only get it through the GetUpside app. So put it on your phone right now. And also, put in my promo code Barry. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up through the GetUpside app. Two ways to get money back here: gas and food. You eat out, you want to go to, you know, some good restaurants too, like Cyclone and Aya's. They got a Candelaria's pizza on there. There's Wendy's, Popeye's, Burger King. So if you're just grabbing a burger, why not get cash back in the process? You can do that through the GetUpside app. The fill ups, there's over 500 gas stations around the city where you can get up to 25 cents a gallon. And look, don't forget, there's another feature in GetUpside where you can get money. And I suspect the guys that have like $300 in their account are really using this to their advantage. But if you get your friends and family on GetUpside and you give them your promo code that they'll give you through the app, you get cash back from your friends when they use the app. It's outstanding. It's not required to do that, but it does give you extra money just for having your friends and family join the GetUpside family. They're going to like it as much as I do, as much as you do. So go download it right now. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Alameda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, live from Wildcat Golf Club, the occasional invitational. The players still on the course, braving the heat, having some fun. Courtney is hiding because it's cooler in here, so she's trying to act like she's overseeing the auction. She's not doing anything. Brandon's doing everything over there with Diamonds in the Rough. But we appreciate them having us out and hosting this great tournament. And, of course, great people involved. Jeff Van Gundy was here. ProVision is his charity. It's a great charity. If you don't know anything about it, Google it. But you can still have opportunities. Go to our website. There's ways that you can still contribute to ProVision. Jeff is adamant about his support for them, and our tournament benefits them. So check that out as well.
Yeah, do that.
That too.
Go do that.
Yeah.
So no big plans for the birthday, huh?
No. I mean, and I didn't know what time I was going to get out of here.
Lisa's planning anything,
true.
Too.
And I don't know what time I didn't know what time we were going to get out of here. So I didn't. I just said, look, this weekend we can all go to dinner. We can do something. But I'm just not going to.
Now, do you have a go-to restaurant for your birthday? Like, if you get to pick, like, for me, it's a Brazilian steakhouse. I didn't go this year because I was like, I'm already fat. Let's not do that. But do you have like a meal or a go-to restaurant that
I
you like to eat at?
But I don't anymore. I don't.
What
it used
it
to be
used
Vic
to?
And Anthony's downtown.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Yeah, and get a great steak and all that. Yeah, it used to be. Like I said, then you get married and have a kid, and your choices are loopy tortillas or the Chinese food place.
Yeah.
Or just some takeout that we don't have to go dress up, or Olive Garden because we know there's stuff on the menu Taylor likes.
Right.
So it's not the big fancy stuff like it used to be, but it's more, again, if I told you that you could have told a younger me like 10 years ago, hey, guess what? You're going to have a beautiful wife and you're going to have a beautiful baby girl and you guys are going to be in a suburb in a yard with dogs and having fun, I'd be going, there's no way.
Really?
I just didn't see it happening. And now to be in this situation, it really is. It changes everything.
That's good, dude.
It's a cool thing. Yeah. It really is, because Barry Warner, like I said, he called me this morning. And I said, Barry, look, it used to be on my birthday. I wanted to throw a party. I was all about going to buy clothes and, you know, being all about me and superficial things and all these other things and you know, what you're driving, what you're wearing, what watch you have, all those other things. And now all my priorities have just completely shifted to, what does Taylor need? Is there something she wants? You know, what's Lisa need? Obviously, being pregnant, you pay even more attention to that. And I'm just like, I'm happy being the one that takes care of them on their birthdays. But mine is just like, it's no big deal anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
It is different.
Yeah.
But it's you know, I woke up this morning and it took a second that I had to look at them and go, today's my birthday.
Yeah.
But I have so many other things going on in my head that I got to do, got to get up, got to get Taylor ready for school. I was like, well, and we were going to be on the remote. Yeah, that's why I said maybe this weekend we do something. But I appreciate you. You went out of your way to get the Tiff's treats. That's fantastic. So that's, you know, those are the kind of things that mean the most.
But also Juneteenth today. Happy Juneteenth.
Indeed. And a lot of people like to use the term but aren't really up to speed on what it means.
Okay. Are you going to share with us?
I can definitely do that. And I actually was reading up on it again this morning.
We talked about this last year where a lot of people mistake Juneteenth to be a national holiday.
Right.
It is not.
It is not, but it is here locally.
It is a local holiday.
It's Emancipation Park, which is here in the city of Houston, city limits. And Emancipation Park and the founding of Emancipation Park, when the Civil War ended, a dramatic reorganization of society through the former Confederacy include freeing of slaves. Abe Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, published it January 1, 1863, but it didn't get to Texas for two more years. It wasn't until General Granger proclaimed it in Galveston, Texas, June 19, 1865, Texas got the news that all slaves were free. The anniversary of the day took on festive traditions and a new name, and it became Juneteenth. And eventually, they started to raise money to have a big celebration. 1872, they pooled $1,000 to put down on 10 acres of land as the home for the Juneteenth celebration. It's now called Emancipation Park here in Houston, Texas.
Oh, so that was originally where they put the money down to,
for the land.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. I knew that it was in Galveston, and I knew that it was roughly 2 years after slaves were initially freed.
So there's a lot more details and back and forth in the land and fighting over
everything. I wasn't aware about the $1,000 in the park. That's pretty cool.
On June 7, 1979, the state of Texas passed legislation declaring Juneteenth a state holiday, and the celebrations were at Emancipation Park.
Very cool.
So there you have it.
This article that you had listed, that I found it to be rather interesting. They were ranking the NFL coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this was on For the Win. They had the 2019 ranking of all the NFL coaches. Who's in the tier with Belichick and everybody, right?
Right,
so there's
right.
There's five tiers. There's five tiers plus the rookie coaches. So they list the rookie coaches: Zach Taylor, Matt LaFleur, Brian Flores, Vic Fangio, all those guys, Freddie Kitchens, and Cliff Kingsbury. But then they go like the tier five is no thanks. Mike Vrabel makes an appearance in the no thanks tier. I'm good with that.
Fine.
Tier four is the meh or I don't know yet tier. John Gruden, Anthony Lynn make an appearance there. Ron Rivera, Jay Gruden, and Bill O'Brien all fall within the meh or I don't know yet tier four. You good with O'Brien being in tier four?
I think it might be high.
I really do. About right.
It's middle of the pack. But again, as we've
talked
about.
So he's at 15. So basically, he's on the border of tier four, meh, and tier three, which is definitely good coaches. So he's
I think it's high on the border. I think it's high.
So you think he's closer to no thanks?
I think it comes down to what have you
done. Then he is to definitely good.
Just like when we talk about the way he talks to the media and belittles people and is rude to people and all those things. If you win and you're Nick Saban or Bill Belichick or even a Greg Popovich, it gives you a right, whether right or wrong, to be a little bit more snarky. But the fact that he's been snarky before he's won anything other than a division title, I think it's a little higher than I would have had him.
Other names in Tier 4 is Matt Patricia, Jason Garrett, Dan Quinn. I think I mentioned Ron Rivera. So those are all the people that they feel are on par with Bill O'Brien.
I think Anthony Lynn's a better coach than everybody else you named.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. So Tier 3, which is definitely good coaches, Sean McDermott, Matt Nagy, Frank Reich, Kyle Shanahan, Bruce Arians, Mike Tomlin, and John Harbaugh.
Are you good with McDermott?
He's on the edge. He's 14, just ahead of Bill O'Brien at 15.
He's at the very bottom end of that tier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the problem I have is I think Mike Tomlin is getting disrespected being at 9 and in tier 3.
Because, again, when we talk about the Bill O'Brien, the anti-Bill O'Brien is there's a guy that has never really been snarky and rude and otherwise, and he's got all the resume to be able to do that if he wanted to because he's been to Super Bowls and he's won consistently on a high level. Where Bill O'Brien has
tier two is the winning wherever they go tier, and it includes Mike Zimmer, Doug Peterson, Pete Carroll, and Sean McVay. I think you've got to include Mike Tomlin in that tier.
Mike Tomlin,
in the tier two.
I'll tell you who.
And then tier one Hall of Famers is Sean Payton, Andy Reid, and Bill Belichick, and I'm good with that.
Okay, and here's the thing: I don't think Mike Zimmer
belongs in tier two.
So
if you had to swap, you put.
So there
Mike,
you go.
I'm with you.
Yep. Mike Tomlin in and Zimmer out.
Yeah.
Until you prove to me you can win a big one.
There you go.
Or get there. Okay. Well, good show, my friend.
Hey, man. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I hope that.
Happy birthday, Joel.
Thank you, Nick. So yeah, we'll kick it around tomorrow. So hopefully you guys get some food and bev out of the deal. But do appreciate everybody that's reached out with the birthday wishes. Appreciate everybody here at Wildcat Golf Club for a fantastic experience with the tournament, and of course all the suspects all over the place. And diamonds in the rough for the 85th time. My people over there doing fantastic work in the auctions. So for Barry, I'm Joel. Nick back at the studio. We and Dell, who's somewhere eating. We'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.